Chapter 7, The Swiss Conference of 1885, One of the First in Europe. On Thursday, September 10th, workers and church members began arriving in Basel for the Swiss Conference meeting, which was to begin that evening. Ellen White's old friend Daniel T. Bordeaux arrived with a number of French believers. She greeted them cordially and had a pleasant interview with Bordeaux and his little family. There were his wife, Marion, his daughter, Patience, now an energetic teenager of 15, and Augustine, just 10 years old. Ellen White had known the Bordeaux family from the earliest days when their home at Bordeauxville, in northern Vermont, had been an important Adventist outpost. Daniel's brother, A. C. Bordeaux, had accepted the third angel's message first, and Daniel thought at the time that he was crazy to observe Saturday instead of Sunday. Proud of his biblical scholarship gained at a Baptist seminary in Canada, Daniel had set out to prove from the scriptures that his brother was wrong. In the process, of course, he discovered quite the opposite, and he was forced to admit that the biblical arguments favored the seventh-day Sabbath, but even so, he still felt he could not accept Mrs. White's visions as authentic. Then came a significant meeting at Bucks Bridge, New York, in 1857. Daniel was there, and during the meeting Ellen White was taken off in open vision. The physical phenomena characterizing her early visions, among which was breathlessness, were apparent on this occasion. James White, who was present, invited those who had doubts to come forward and see for themselves. He explained that Mrs. White, while in vision, was completely oblivious to everything around her, and gave opportunity for anyone present to examine her. This was Bordeaux's chance. Gaining permission from Elder White, and in a spirit of reverence and decorum, he resorted to an unusual procedure after satisfying himself that there were no outward signs of breathing. As he testified later, I took my hand and placed it over her mouth, pinching her nostrils between my thumb and forefinger, so that it was impossible for her to exhale or inhale air, even if she had desired to do so. I held her thus with my hand about 10 minutes, long enough for her to suffocate under ordinary circumstances. She was not in the least affected by this ordeal. Statement of D.T. Bordeaux, February 4, 1891, quoted in J.N. Loughborough, The Great Second Advent Movement, p. 210. Bordeaux confessed that after this experience he was never again inclined to doubt the divine origin of Mrs. White's visions. During the European Council soon to follow, Bordeaux's confidence would be put to a severe test, but it would not be shaken. And it never was. Mrs. White attends Swiss Conference. The second annual meeting of the Swiss Conference opened that night. This conference was one of the first officially organized in Europe. It had been formed the year before at a general meeting in Vienne. Their ministers had gathered from France, Italy, Germany, and Romania, as well as Switzerland, and though the conference was called Swiss, it actually included the churches in all these countries. 125 delegates had been present for the organizing meeting in Vienne, but when Mrs. White rose to address the 1885 session on Friday, she was surprised and delighted to see nearly 200 believers before her. A more intelligent, noble-looking company is seldom seen, she reported to review readers. Although gathered from different nations, we were brought near to God and to one another by our eyes being fixed upon the one object, Jesus Christ. The interest among the delegates was keen as they listened for the first time to the Lord's messenger. Her first address was a heartwarming and inspiring one. I have been deeply interested this morning in listening to the reports of labor from the various fields, she began. Then she reminisced a little, observing how similar these reports sounded to the one she had heard when the work was just beginning in America. She was sure that the workers in Europe felt as they had in America when new converts accepted the message. One soul who embraced the truth was regarded of more value than mountains of gold. We wept and rejoiced, and could scarcely sleep. Then, alluding to the report made of the work in Italy by A.C. Bordeaux earlier in the meeting, she said, The Piedmont valleys have been spoken of. From the light that I have had, there are, all through these valleys, precious souls who will receive the truth. I have no personal knowledge of these places, but they were presented to me as being in some way connected with God's work of the past. Ibid. Then she went on to assure the representatives of other countries in Europe that there is a great work yet to be accomplished in all the fields from which we have heard reports. Ibid. Proper methods of labor. Mrs. White next addressed herself to the question of proper methods. She stressed the importance of personal visitation in the homes of the people. The minister must be alert to any sign of interest and conviction aroused by his preaching, and he must move immediately to work personally with the people. Many a precious soul balances for a time, Ellen White said, and then takes his position on the side of error, because he does not have this personal effort at the right time. She suggested that workers may have to reside where the people need help most. They ought to come close to the people, sit with them at their tables and lodge in their humble homes. Ibid. If this meant the workers had to take their families to undesirable places, then they would simply have to remember that Jesus, laboring in Palestine, did not always remain in the most desirable surroundings. But she didn't single out the ministers as the only heralds of the message. She knew that there were hard-working mothers and day laborers who had a work to do for God, as well. Brethren and sisters, you who tarry by the stuff at home, there is something for you to do. The work of saving souls is not to be done by the ministers alone. Everyone who has been converted will seek to bring others to a knowledge of the truth. Commence to work for those in your own homes and neighborhoods. You can also send up your petitions for the laborers in the different fields. God will hear your prayers. Ibid. Mrs. White's counsel represented more than mere sermonizing. As a mother with four sons, she had always labored faithfully to win to Christ those close to her and her neighbors, as well. Her soul-winning contracts with people in Europe both in and out of the church were frequent and fruitful, as we shall see. Meetings on the Sabbath day. Sabbath morning, as Mrs. White looked out her window, she could see the carriages lurching and struggling over the muddy street as the people gathered. Then she went down for the church service in the new chapel. May the Lord meet with us was her burden. D.T. Bordeaux gave the sermon in French, while his brother translated it into English for the benefit of the Americans and British present. In the afternoon Ellen White spoke again. Warming to her subject, she preached with great clarity, and when she made her appeal the response was overwhelming. 100 fervent testimonies were born. All expressed that they were impressed and benefited by the discourse given. Certainly this people seemed to be in earnest to be helped, willing to receive my testimony. Ibid. From the light Sister White had received from the Lord, testimony services were not to be neglected in Seventh-day Adventist churches, for they open great reservoirs of strength and mutual encouragement to the church family. The social meeting also had practical value as a school to teach the believers self-expression and the use of the voice in witnessing. In new congregations in Europe, and later in Australia, Mrs. White would introduce this type of testimony service. Although the social meeting is a new thing, yet they are learning in the school of Christ, and are overcoming fear and trembling. We keep before them the fact that the social meeting will be the best meeting in which they may be trained and educated to be witnesses for Christ. On Sunday morning it was time for the newly formed Swiss Tract Society to have its meeting. With the large dimensions of the work before them, they felt helpless, for they had only one German colporteur, and very few more in the other countries. W.C. White stepped forward to speak. Although only 31 years old, he was an experienced publishing leader, having been the manager of the Pacific Press. He knew about operating the publishing business with only a few literature evangelists in the field. He told of the beginnings of colporteur work begun only a few years before in America, and how a number of experimental programs were tried before the best methods of work emerged, and his encouraging counsels registered. Before the conference was over, he and Sands Lane, of Britain, had organized a good-sized class of would-be colporteurs, and eight decided to devote themselves to the work. Practical character of Ellen White's addresses. On the same day, Mrs. White had a practical address for the missionary workers. She opened her talk by telling of Nathaniel's skepticism when he first heard of Jesus. Here is a lesson for all our ministers, colporteurs, and missionary workers. When you meet those who, like Nathaniel, are prejudiced against the truth, do not urge your peculiar views too strongly. Talk with them at first of subjects upon which you can agree. Bow with them in prayer, and in humble faith present your petitions at the throne of grace. Both you and they will be brought into a closer connection with heaven, prejudice will be weakened, and it will be easier to reach the heart. Again she stressed the importance of personal work, saying the work of the third angel's message must be accomplished largely by persevering, individual effort, by visiting the people in their homes. But then she returned to a favorite theme. Present the truth as it is in Jesus, not for the sake of contention, not for the love of argument, but with meekness and fear. That which makes the truth so objectionable to many is that it is not presented in the Spirit of Christ. This love would accomplish far more than the strongest arguments, she said. Then she gave some counsel on how to deal with the most difficult cases. She said that even if people slam the door in the missionary's face, he should not give up. This was the time for the silent messengers of truth, the printed page, to bear their testimony. A work for young and old. She knew that there were immense difficulties to be faced, but there was a work for all ages to accomplish. Success does not depend so much upon age or circumstances in life as upon the real love that one has for others. Look at John Bunyan enclosed by prison walls. He is not idle. The love for souls continues to burn within him, and from his dark prison house there springs a light which shines to all parts of the civilized world. His book, The Pilgrim's Progress, written under these trying circumstances, portrays the Christian life so accurately, and presents the love of Christ in such an attractive light, that hundreds and thousands have been converted through its instrumentality. What she said next encouraged those with Lutheran backgrounds. Again, behold Luther in his Wartburg prison, translating the Bible, which was sent forth as a torch of light, and which his countrymen seized and carried from land to land to separate from the religion of Christ the superstitions and errors. Ibid. She appealed then to the young men to devote themselves to the service of Christ, and closed with a challenge. I am thankful to see so large a number present at this meeting. But shall not your numbers be more than doubled during the coming year? Let each answer for himself what he will do. That afternoon she spoke again. As before, the audience was divided into national groups, Elder D.T. Bordeaux translated into French, Erzberger into German, and Elder Oyen into Danish-Norwegian. This was a pleasurable experience for Mrs. White, as the translation process gave her more time to reflect on what she was saying, and to rest her voice. There was also a surprise move, a new experience for many of our brethren in Europe as Ellen White described it. At the close of her discourse, she called for all who desired to be Christians, and all who felt that they had not a living connection with God, to come forward, declaring that we would unite our prayers with theirs for the pardon of sin, and for grace to resist temptation. The work was of God. The people responded willingly. She reported, it seemed that the entire congregation were on their feet, and the best they could do was to be seated, and all seek the Lord together. After this appeal, 115 people, many of them weeping all the while, bore their heartfelt testimonies to their desire for a genuine experience in the things of God. In her review article reporting the experience, Ellen White described the genuineness of this revival meeting in Basel. She testified to the similarity of the work of God's Spirit among His children everywhere. The Holy Spirit operates the same the world over. When it is received into the heart, the whole character is changed. Old habits and customs and national pride and prejudice are broken down. And this resulted in unity of thought and action. Close of the conference. Finally, on Monday, the Swiss conference drew to a close. Mrs. White gave one final address on unity and Christian courtesy, and when she finished there was another first for the new chapel in Basel, a baptism conducted in the new baptistry. 14 persons went forward in faith, and Ellen White said, God grant that none of these may ever forget their baptismal vows. As she told the story in the church paper, she appealed to Adventists everywhere. Will those who have recently taken the cross of Christ, both here and in America, continue to climb the ladder of progress? Ibid.